And good afternoon from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. The Alaska Beacon is reporting that today a special prosecutor charged former Alaska Attorney General designee Ed Sniffen with three counts of third-degree sexual abuse of a minor. Third-degree sexual abuse of a minor is a Class C felony punishable by 2 to 12 years in prison. Alaska courthouses are closed on Friday afternoons, and the charges have not yet been processed by the court system, but Deputy Attorney General Corey Mills provided the details in an email to the Alaska Department of Law staff. The charges are related to Sniffen's alleged sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl in 1991 when she was a high school student and Sniffen was the coach of her school's mock trial team. Sniffen was 27 at the time. The relationship came to light in early 2021 after an investigation by the Anchorage Daily News and ProPublica. At that time, Governor Mike Dunleavy had named Sniffen his preferred replacement for Attorney General Kevin Clarkson, who resigned after a different ADN investigation found that he sent hundreds of unwanted text messages to a subordinate. Sniffen was never confirmed by the Alaska legislature, but he'd been a longtime employee of the Department of Law starting in 2000. Early and absentee in-person voting began today for the U.S. House special primary election. It's the state's first by-mail election, and ballots have already been sent to registered voters. But Alaskans can also vote in person at one of 170 sites. Gail Finumiai, the director of the Alaska Division of Elections, has a couple of reminders if you choose to vote in person.
Make sure that you know the hours of operation, and be prepared to show identification when you appear to vote in front of the election official.
In Juneau, in-person absentee voting is available at the Division of Elections office at the Mendenhall Mall or on the 8th floor of the State Office Building downtown. Both are open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on weekdays with more limited hours on the weekends. The sites will be closed on Memorial Day but will reopen on Tuesday. A ballot will be provided at the voting location. Finumiai says Alaskans who vote in person should not mail in their ballot.
They can destroy their ballot at home by tearing it and disposing of it. If they have a shredder, they can go ahead and shred it.
Alaskans choosing to vote by mail must have their ballots postmarked by Election Day. That's Saturday, June 11th. And there's a third way to vote. Finumiai says voters can also drop off their mail-in ballots at the in-person voting locations.
And they have ballot boxes say that they would be able to leave their ballot with the election official, as well as any of our five regional offices around the state. People can hand deliver their ballots there as well.
As of Wednesday, the state has received almost 84,000 ballots so far. On May 18th, the Alaska legislature adjourned without passing new restrictions on financial donations to candidates for state office. The Alaska Beacon reports that because a federal court threw out Alaska's old limits, the legislature's failure means that candidates may accept unlimited amounts of money from donors inside and outside the state. Legislators finished work on a critical amendment in the closing hours of the session, but it never came up for a vote. Alaska becomes the 10th state to operate without limits on candidate contributions. One representative says that he will very likely put forward a ballot measure proposing donation limits, something that would bypass the legislature entirely. That measure, if it receives the support of voters, couldn't become effective until 2024 at the earliest. Growing up in Juneau, Juliana Hu Peggy's heard a lot of legends, local legends, about Asian people throughout the town's history. Now she's a professor at Cornell University, and her book called Space-Time Colonialism, Alaska's Indigenous and Asian Entanglements, takes a more critical look at those stories. KTOO's Yvonne Crumray talked with her about what histories are told or not told about Alaska Native and Asian people in Juneau.
How did you enter this field of study?
I teach primarily in race, indigeneity, gender, and sexuality, and I'm really wanting to look at Asian American histories, Asian American cultural production in relation to indigenous peoples, lands, and knowledges. So that's really how I think of my work now.
What in your research on Juneau did you find to be the most surprising or conversely validating based on your experience growing up there?
I think in terms of Juneau, and I want to think primarily around China Joe. I had always suspected that there was more to the story, right, than even though there's a lot of the story that is told over and over around China Joe. And two things, learning that he wasn't, you know, often people said he was the only Chinese, right, in Juneau, and realizing that he wasn't the only Chinese, that there are other Chinese immigrants who had come in and out of the city through the years in his life was one. And then two, I think the really kind of what became clear that I wanted to look at was the 1883 lynching of three Tlingit men. And I call it a lynching because it was vigilante violence. Two of the men were hanged and one man was shot. The white miners of the town, 60 to 70 white men, collectively pulled on the hanging rope to avoid individual responsibility. Wow. So I want also for us to think about that, that it was not, again, this wasn't random. It wasn't bad apples. This was the functioning of the town.
So you mentioned China Joe, and he's a figure in space-time colonialism. Can you tell me more about who he was?
I look at China Joe in two ways. I look at him as a historical figure. He is a Chinese immigrant who's important to Juneau's founding history. He came to Alaska as part of the Gold Rush period, originally in the 1870s, and he establishes the city's first bakery, and he remains in Juneau for the rest of his life until he passes away in 1917. So we know about him as a historical figure that's pretty important, right? For people who grew up in Juneau, spend time in Juneau, or even some folks who come off the tour ships will be familiar with the folklore, and that is that he, in the 1870s, saved starving prospectors during a winter freeze in the Cassiar Mining District, that's British Columbia, present-day British Columbia, and Talton, Athabascan homelands. There were prospectors who were trying to wait out the season, and it was a particularly bad one. The last steamboat didn't arrive with provisions, and people were starving. And China Joe the baker baked and saved everybody, right? And in some ways, it's a loaves and fishes story, right, in this way, that he, with his flour, he fed everyone, and he saves prospectors. And then the second part of his story is that in 1886, when Chinese miners are driven out of Juneau, the old-time sourdoughs, those who remembered him from that from the Cassiar, protect China Joe and don't allow him to be taken and driven out. And he's, as the lore would have it, he's the only, you know, Chinese who's allowed to remain in Alaska's gold country, right? That's the folklore. And so in this chapter, I look at China Joe both as a historical figure and a folkloric figure. And I want to reconsider both the person and the mythology.
And you say that even for tourists and visitors today, the way that China Joe's story is retold, quote, rationalizes the settler expulsion of Asian labor. And so mm-hmm. I'm really curious, like, how you've seen that in the tourist landscape today and what impact that has on Asian people living in Juneau now.
This is really important when we talk about which stories get carried forward to tourists, which stories get carried forward. It redeems, right, sort of white male heroics again. It redeems those white male heroics, this time, right, in the service of one lone Chinese baker. It somehow redeems the city. It somehow redeems sort of the founding of a town.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
It's going to be a beautiful holiday weekend in Juneau with just a few clouds, but mostly sunny days, highs in the upper 60s, flirting with 70. Tonight's low will be in the mid-40s downtown with winds up to 15 miles per hour. The valley could get down to the mid-30s. Tomorrow's high will be near 70 with lighter winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. It continues on like that throughout the weekend. The next chance of rain is showing up on Wednesday night. It's currently 71 degrees with a few clouds at Juneau International Airport. The record high for this date is 82, set back in 1947. Even though May has been mostly dry, all the rain we got in the early months of this year means that we're still more than a foot above average. The sun sets tonight at 9:43. I hope you can get out and enjoy the weather.